morning, family. How are you this morning? I said, good morning, family. How are you this morning? Are you ready to worship God this morning? Come on, let's begin to open our heart before we even get going. Let's get ready to bless God this morning, because He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of glory and honor. Let's invite Him. If you'd like to come out of your seat and get around the front of the church this morning, get ready to bless God this morning. Father, we thank You that we can come into Your house and that we can freely worship You. Father, we thank You that we have the opportunity, God. I pray that this morning, God, our worship would bring You glory and honor and praise, God. We would glorify You in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Church, let's bless God this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Tell me, won't you fire come out higher than before? I want to be strong so I can make it without breaking or giving it up. Lift me up. Lift me up. Because
on the mountaintop until the storm blows over.
church, give God some praise this morning. He is worthy of our praise. Come on, give him a shout this morning.
Victorious. The doctor said we know you reign high. Regardless of what the bank said, we know you reign high. You reign, you reign. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
are free, free indeed from anything at all. Open up your mouth and give him praise. He deserves all of glory, all of our praise. He is worthy. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that means you are free to give him praise. Hallelujah. You deserve the glory. So we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor.
We lift our hands. Declare this morning, you are great.
I was just teaching in Rock Solid Faith this week on the seven Hebrew words of worship. It's really interesting because many of us, we wait for the band. How many of you really appreciate the worship team? You're amazing people. But you know something? The seven Hebrew words they're like a progression. And the first one is yada. Everybody shout yada. And that means I surrender, lifting up holy hands in praise. You know, there comes a place when you learn how to just surrender. You see, when we're going to come before the presence of the Lord, we've got to surrender ourselves. How many of you got a little bit of junk in your life? How many of you know you got to surrender that junk? Amen. The Bible says that we are living sacrifices, that we need to give ourselves holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service every single day. So we yada. The next word is called towda, T-O-W-D-A-H. And it literally means, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And that means you stop talking about all your problems and you start praising the one who has the answers. Amen. Listen, everybody who has a problem in this room, there's somebody who's got a worse problem than you. We all got something to praise God for, amen? How many of you got breath in your mouth? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then the next one is called Shabak. And that means the shout. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So what happens is this. As you surrender your life, as you start praising him for all the great things he's done in your life. How many of you, God's done some great things in your life? How many of you had your sins washed away this morning? Man, you got a reason to shout. Amen. All of a sudden you got stirred up in your spirit. And then you got a hallelujah. I love what Brother Shambach said. Brother Shambach said he was in New York City doing a revival. And he was in the afternoon, and he was walking down one of the streets, and there was a shoe store with a pair of green suede shoes. And he said, I got to have a pair of those green suede shoes. So he walked into the shop, and he said, sir, I'll have a pair of those green suede shoes. And he asked the size, and the man went out back to go get the size green suede shoes. And all of a sudden, he said, the anointing just started to stir up inside of him. And all of a sudden, he said, I just shouted, hallelujah! At the top of my voice, he said, the guys came running from out back. Sir, is everything okay? And he says, it's all right now because the safety valve has gone off. Amen. Our little granddaughter does that. She'll walk into a store and she'll just shout, hallelujah. But the shout comes. And then the next word is called Zamar, which means this. I've done all I can do in the flesh. I've worshiped him the best that I can. I've got no more in my flesh. Somebody strike the strings. Somebody strike the music. Somebody help me praise him now. You see, now watch. This is what happens in church. We wait for the worship team. But before the worship, before Zamar ever happens, we should already be at the Yada, Tauda, and the Shabak. Before you ever come into this place, you should already be shouting unto God with the voice of triumph. You should already be stirring up your spirit and ready to worship him in with everything you got. And after the Zamar, the next word is called halal, which is called clamorously and foolishly praising him. Now, some of you were drunks before. Some of you might still be. God delivers. Amen. But some of you used to be fools, man. You'd go to these parties. You'd get drunk. You'd run around like an idiot. You'd run around, spin around, do stupid stuff. But yet we come to the house of God and we go like this. I don't want anybody to see me. Come on, the Bible says that we can clamorously and foolishly praise him. The Bible declares that God spins and dances over you. I mean, God, the God of heaven spins and dances over you. Then the next word is called Barach. And that is, I will kneel before the God, my maker. When we surrender and we kneel down and we just say, God, it's no longer me, it's you. Lord, I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and I know I'll be lifted up. And the last one is called Tehillai, which is the Hebrew word that means this, that there are no more words that can be spoken. Literally, God by his spirit starts worshiping through you just by Christ living in you. And it's those moments, I don't know how many of you have ever been into that kind of service, but all of a sudden, 2 hours go by, and you wonder where the time went. It's not like you sat there every minute looking, oh, is it done? Is it done? No, no. The presence of God is so thick. The anointing is so thick. The glory is so heavy. Time, you step out of lateral and into eternal. It is a powerful place. You see, this morning, some of you came here, and you waited for the worship team.
Well, you know, they started a few minutes early or they started a few minutes late. Boy, I don't know if I like that song. Well, you know, I don't know that song.
Before they ever strike the strings, you should already be basking in his presence. Amen. Can I challenge you to do that? Can I challenge you? Come on, let's practice a little bit. Are you ready? We did this in Rock Solid Faith this week. Come on now. Let's all yada. Come on, everybody lift your hands and just start surrendering. Come on, tell them you surrender right now. This, you got to say it out your mouth. Remember, words are seed. You're starting to plant a harvest right now. I surrender, Jesus. Lord, I know that you and you only are my sufficiency. There's nobody else, Jesus, who cares for me like you. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my life. I surrender, God, those secret places, Lord, that I've even hidden from others. I declare, God, that you are the Lord of them all. Come on now. Let's step into Tauta. Come on, start praising him right now. Praise him right out loud for things he's done in your life. Come on, start thanking him right now. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you've never given up on us. We thank you, God, that you are called faithful. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the great counselor and the Prince of Peace. We honor you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Come on now. Now give God a shout. Come on, give God a shout. Give God a shout. Give God a shout. Give God a shout. Hallelujah! Some of you need to get free. Shout out! Shout! Shout! Hallelujah! You're so worried about somebody and what they're going to think or say. You're so concerned about their thoughts about you. Who cares what they think about you? It's time to be free and free indeed. Come on, give God one more shout this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you. You know, I just found this, that so many people are so owned by others. They're really so owned by their past. Well, I'm shy. Do you realize that there's not a shy person on this planet? That God did not give you the spirit of shyness, but God gave you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I don't know. Some of you bought a lie saying you were shy. Stop speaking death over your life and start speaking life. That I have the boldness of the Holy Ghost. That no matter where I am, I'm willing to share what the gospel is. Can I hear an amen? Well, Pastor, I'm just more reserved than other people. That's not true either. If I took you out in the middle of a lake and you couldn't swim and I threw you in, you're not going to go, help me, help me. You're going to be flaring your arms and shouting, help! You see, what happens is this, is that we have bought so much foolishness, we've got to start believing the word over lies. Amen? So can you give God one more shout this morning, telling him you love him? Hallelujah! We worship you, Jesus. Come on, one more! On your way back to your chair. Well, Pastor, I don't like to talk to anybody. Who lied to you? God created you to be social. Go say hello to somebody you don't know this morning and tell them, I thank God that you're in the house of the Lord this morning. You still got 1 minute. Don't sit down. Find somebody you don't know. Say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Turn around to somebody and say, good morning. You look beautiful.
Pastor Jade, did you know that God danced the day you were born?
I did, but you know what? I think he danced more the day Pastor Rhonda was born. Hey, HT, we have a very special announcement for you today.
Pastor Rhonda's birthday is coming up.
Make sure to come prepared with your birthday blessings for the mother of the house.
And plan on staying after service for cake and a birthday party.
Be there.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting? How many of you knew we had a Bible school right here? You can learn the Word of God, grow in the Word of God. And I want to challenge you. Maybe you work full-time, and I had to do my Bible college correspondence except for my first 3 years. And if you would like to do that, you can see Pastor Bina Ebo. Pastor Ebo, if you'll stand and wave at everybody. He's the dean over the school. Very exciting. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. It's so good to have you here. We want to thank you for being brave. Turn to someone and say, thank God you're brave. It's true. Come on, let's be honest. The first time you go to a church that you've never been to before, it's a little intimidating. Am I alone? I mean, I don't care. I've been a pastor a lot of years. But when I go to a different city, I don't stay home on a Sunday. I go to church because I like to experience uniqueness.
He came to the church, and he just said, I just walked through the doors. Nobody invited him, nothing. He just walked through the doors. How brave and how bold
that is
it
brave,
is to
Ted.
Come someplace. So it was very nice to meet you this
That's
morning,
right.
Ted.
And he comes to Rock Solid Faith, and I believe you go to the Bible study on Thursday, too. Growing in Jesus. I love that. So we want to welcome all of our guests. We have a gift for you. We're not going to make you stand. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you are a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, we'd like you to raise your hand up. We want to bless you with a gift this morning. Is there anyone here? Oh, young lady. Right, second row. I love that. Right here in the red jacket. Young man back there. First-time guest. Is there anybody else a first-time guest in the house? Yeah, we see the guests in the back. Hallelujah. We want to... Can we give him a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being here. We also want to welcome our online campus. We have literally well over 100 people now watching. We have folks, Angel was just telling me, Matt's parents from England pop on, and they watch live stream as well. And we have people from all over the United States. We just want to say we love you. Thank you for being part of the online campus. We just thank you that you're part of this house. You might not be in the building, but you're part of the family of God. Amen. Can we give our online campus a clap? Amen. Let's welcome my beautiful wife, Rhonda.
Good morning. Oh, wow, that's loud. Good morning. I am so excited about the Word of God today. Well, every week I am. I just want to share, today we were brought this ear of corn. And if you all remember, Pastor gave out a seed to everyone and told them to plant that seed. And this year, this is the year of kingdom seed. So kingdom seed, the Word of God says, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. It is a fact that will not ever pass away. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Well, our sweet friend Viola decided to plant hers in the ground and tended it, took very good care of it, put it in the best soil, and her one little kernel of corn yielded 4 ears of corn, which she then shared with some people that could use it. She kept one for herself, and then she brought one to Pastor. Seed time and harvest shall not pass away. This is physical evidence of what Pastor has been preaching. Everything we sow will reap a harvest. Everything we sow will reap a harvest. So this morning, as we prepare our tithes and offerings, we are sowing obedience to the word of God. When we choose to give our tithe, it blesses God. It is our joy to be able to honor our King with our 10%, our tithes and our offerings, and give him glory, making him the owner of our lives, declaring that you are the one God that gave me the breath, that gave me the gifts, that gave me the ability, and bringing back to him his 10% to bless the house of God so that we can do every great work. It is so much fun being a part of a generous church so that we have enough to do every great work in the kingdom of God. I love knowing that my finances are being sown into this community, into the world, and it's making an impact and making a change. So are you ready to give this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if you'll repeat it, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and you can give right along with us.
We become, we believe in, not denying. Lights on, shining brighter, believing through the storm, we're standing unshakable. We become what we believe in, not denying who we are, we're living unshakable. Lights on, we're shining brighter, believing through the storm, we're standing unshakable.
Take me to the bridge.
Set my feet on a solid ground, let me stand on the mountaintop until the storm blows over and I'm still standing here. Set my feet on a solid rock, let me stand on the mountaintop until the storm blows over and I'm still standing here. Set my feet on a solid rock, let me stand on the mountaintop until the storm blows over and I'm still standing here.
Wow, that was crazy. We just looked, and if you were here last week, Pastor shot Donnie and Cody with paintball guns, talking about our words and how they mark people. Donnie still has his bruises and marks from last week. Our words make a mark on people. So let's build and encourage and edify. And I have to apologize. Susan is the one that gave the ear of corn, not Viola, so let me correct that. This is Susan. And Pastor Chad just wants to share with us this morning about Rock the City.
How many of you guys are excited to be a part of changing our community? Rock the City is going to be the largest outreach, I believe, that our church has ever done, and this is going to be an incredible thing. And so, how many of you guys know that there's so many ways to connect? And we've been overwhelmed by the amount of volunteers that have come forward and wanted to participate and help us facilitate Rock the City. You guys are an amazing church, and you guys really put your hands to the plow. So we had a new need that has come up. We are wanting to do like sanitation bags. We want to do around 300 of them. And so we are up, and some of the people that we've partnered with, we have toothpaste, we're getting toothbrushes, we have quite a bit of female deodorant and things like that. But we are going to put a donation bucket out in the foyer. And if you would like to come throughout the week, you can bring, you know, you guys know when you go to the hotels, you have the sample size, like soaps and shampoos and conditioners.
Don't steal the samples from the hotels. Yeah,
don't steal your, we know like half of you already do, but you know, don't do it any longer is what he's saying.
Pastor Rhonda always does. I mean, she takes it all.
But I know that there's tons of those sitting around, or if you'd like to grab full-sized shampoos or conditioners or soaps, we're going to put together packs and give them out.
We're gonna be quick.
Well, she told me to do the whole thing, so then I just started talking longer. So if you have feminine products, if you have soaps, if you have shampoos, and specifically females' deodorant, because we have quite a few of males' deodorant already donated, we would love that. You can come contact me on Facebook, or you can come. We'll have a bucket out in the foyer where you can do that.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, in just a few weeks is Rock the City. Are you excited about Rock the City? I cannot wait. I was just meeting with the mayor this week, and he said, Pastor, we are so excited about Rock the City. And then, you know what? He's given us an opportunity. They do community meetings. And he said, I'd like to have you go to all the community meetings, stand up and share what his tabernacle is doing on Wednesday night and Thursday night, so that everybody in the community will start to realize how impactful the church in Horseheads is becoming to our city. Isn't that exciting? We get an opportunity to share the gospel. Turn to someone and say, you are a generous church. That is fact. I thank God last week as we received an offering. I told you we'll have two more weeks, this week and next week. We'll be receiving an offering for Rock the City. We've asked you to pray, ask the Holy Spirit what to sow. We last week had over $4,000 sown into Rock the City. It is a $40,000 event. And I know you're saying, oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. What's a soul worth? Dear Lord, I'm excited. I can't wait to see 500 people born again for the very first time. Amen. Shout, I can't wait to see people saved. Amen. Snatch it. I love what Billy Sunday said. We're here to kick the devil out of Elmira. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're going to make sure the offering envelopes, are they already passed out? Are the offering envelopes passed out? Very good. If you're ready to give to Rock the City, let's all stand. Let's all stand in unison. Listen, if you've got nothing to give, pull some lint out of your belly button and sow that for this week. Believe God that he'll give you, because the Bible says he gives seed to the sower for next week. Are you ready to give? Where's Pastor David? Do we have any good music? Somebody play something. Oh, you want me to sing? Oh, well, glory to God. No, did you see him run? Did you see him run out there? Amen. Are you ready to give, Father? Right now, we thank you for the seed above our tithe for Rock the City. Lord, we know your heart's to seek and to save them which are lost. So today, we sow the seed, Lord, expecting a phenomenal harvest for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come and sow your seed to Rock the City. If you're online watching right now, live stream, we want to challenge you. You too can give to Rock the City. Make sure you hit the give button. And 10,000 is a nice number, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. We ask that you'll just sow as liberally as God directs you to give. Praise the Lord. So next week will be the last week that we'll do. We are not receiving any offerings at Rock the City. We're doing that because we don't want sinners to have to pay for the gospel coming to them. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus this morning? How many of you don't love Jesus this morning? Don't say it out loud. You could get mugged. Hallelujah. It's been a phenomenal year as we've been growing in the word and the understanding of the scripture about how the Bible declares, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And when you seek the kingdom of God, you recognize that God's kingdom is different from the earth's or the world's mindset. You see, God has not called us to be church-minded. He's not called us to be religious-minded. He's called us to be kingdom-minded. And one of the very first principles in the scripture is that of seed faith, where God
brought forth a seed, and like kind is in every single seed. We've shown how all the way from the first of the year, how our thoughts are seed, how our words are seed, how our ground, our body, our spirit is the ground where the seed is planted. We've talked about all these different things and shown how powerful seed is. And today I want to talk about how you and I, God wants you to prosper. Turn to someone and say, God wants you to prosper. So many people have a real struggle with this little statement. Well, you know what, Pastor, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. And we know that everyone who says that is a liar. One kid came to me one day and he said, you know, Pastor, I'm against the prosperity gospel. And I listen to these preachers and they say that those are lies from the scripture. And I said, that's very interesting. I said, have you ever looked at where they live? And he said, well, no. And I said, it's very interesting. Look at these people who speak against the prosperity of the Word of God, the prosperity that God speaks about in His Scripture. Look where they live. Find out what they drive. He found that the guy lives in a $1 million mansion and has multiple cars that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece. And he writes all these books and is prospering by teaching people not to prosper, but he's prospering off of those he's teaching not to prosper. It's amazing when we talk about prosperity, how people get all uptight. But the fact is that God wants you blessed and not cursed. I said, God would want you blessed and not cursed. I said, God wants you blessed and not cursed. How were the children of Israel known in the lands of the Ites? I'll tell you how. Because the Ites recognized by the power and the prosperity of the people. I was just reading about Joseph in Egypt. And after Joseph had died, the people of God still prospered. Prospered so much that it made the Egyptians nervous. I'm here to tell you today, God will always bring recognition to who you are and the message that you will speak. Remember, the amount of authority you have can only be designated by the platform you stand on. So if you have no platform, then you have no voice. And God needs His voice heard like never before. Can I hear an amen? Therefore, there's a necessity for the body of Christ to start rising in levels of prosperity. Prosperity has very little to do with money. It has everything about how you think. For as a man thinks, so he. As a man thinks, so he. We've talked about how many of us, we cancel the blessing of God by our very words. God will start to bless us. God will put our faith out there. And then we'll start cursing the very blessings of the Lord with our words. This morning, as I was praying, I was talking to the Holy Ghost, you know, this getting ready for today. And he was telling me about how he wanted to show you and prove to you scripturally that it is His will to bless you. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles with me to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Can I challenge you to bring your Bible to church? Well, I heard two amens. Can I have a third? You know what? Bringing your Bible to church is very important. Why is that? You should be writing in your Bible. Turn to someone and say, you need to write in your Bible. There's nothing better to give a legacy to your children than Bibles that have been all marked up, chewed up, spit out, and rewritten on. That is one of the greatest things you can give your family. Well, why is that? Because God wants to be able to pass the legacy of your walk with Him to further generations. Now, 3 John verse 2 makes this declaration. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. How many of things are in all? I said, how many things are in all? Everything. How many of you want to prosper in all things? How many of you, listen, there is one area I don't want to continue to prosper in. And that is my tummy. I just got to lose some weight. Glory to God. But you know, other than that, I want to prosper in every area of my life. I want God to be able to bless me in every area of my life. How many of you just want God to bless you with salvation? And really, there's a whole church world that's all they believe in. They believe that God just wants to get you saved and that's all. But God wants you blessed in every area of your life. He wants you blessed in your family. How many of you want to be blessed in your family? How many of you want your children blessed? How many of you want your grandchildren blessed? How many of you want your great-grandchildren blessed? Amen. See, all of that comes because you believe in increase and in prosperity and blessing. How many of you want your finances blessed? Amen. How many of you want to get a raise? How many of you want to increase in your own job? How many of you wouldn't mind starting your own business? Amen. You see, we believe in increase. How many of you want to believe the Lord for blessing and prosperity in your health? How many of you like to be healthy? How many of you like to be sick? That's a good sign. You see, every area of our life, God wants to bless you in. How many of you want to be prosperous in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. Man, there's nothing better than knowing God. Not just knowing about God, not just being a Christianette and going to church, but someone who truly knows the Lord. There's nothing better than truly knowing God. And God wants you to prosper even in the relationship with Him. In fact, that's the number one priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in health as just as your soul prospers. This is a key here. How many of you recognize that there are certain doors that you cannot open unless you open it with a key? And here's a key for us as the body of Christ. How many of you came from Christian backgrounds and you lived like a little angel your entire life? We've got one who's now going to hell. I saw him raise his hand, and I know his background. Hallelujah. Liars. And we know Zach Ramsey definitely did not. We definitely know his background as well. Do you know what's amazing? Even the most righteous individual is unrighteous. Amen? For our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. There is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Every one of us need the Lord. How many of you came from pretty bad backgrounds? How many of you were pretty raw? Dude, you better raise your hand or I'll raise it for you. Pretty raw. I'm talking like, man, you were a cussing, you were a drinking, you were a snorting, you were a token, you were a wild man or a wild woman. Man, you were just one of these people that was all over the place. And man, you never thought you'd ever walk in the house of God and get born again. How many of you are glad Jesus saved even you? The Bible makes a declaration, and it says this, just as your soul prospers. So there's a key here, and here's the key. Remember, there are keys to the kingdom, and that is that our health will prosper, and our all things will prosper as our soul prospers. There's a need to recognize that God has a design not just to get you saved, but to get you healthy. Not just to get you heaven, but that you will be a man or woman on this planet who will represent Him in health inside and out. And there are so many people in the body of Christ who are extremely unhealthy. They're extremely non-prosperous in their soulish man. Now, why does that make a difference? Well, because two halves don't make a whole. I've watched so many believers, I mean, they genuinely have a true experience with Jesus. Their sins are washed away. They know if they took their last breath, they'd be with Him for eternity. They have a relationship with Him, but yet they've never been whole in their soul. They're always walking around like Swiss cheese with holes all over themselves, weeping. Listen, we said the statement last week, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is a lie. I've seen so many believers who've come into my office that are inside still wounded, even from childhood. And God wants you healthy. Turn to someone and say, God wants you healthy. God wants to prosper your soul. Everybody in this room has not only received wounds, we've given wounds. How many of you have had your soul wounded before? I want to remind you all who we are. The Bible says that God created us in His image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. What is the likeness of God? The trichotomy. We know there is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. We know that God created us with a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Our spirit man is either alive or dead. Every other animal, creature on this planet is dichotomous. That means they have a soul and a body. But you and I are the only ones that have been created with a spirit. For God says in John chapter 4 verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So there's a necessity to recognize that God is not a man, but God is a spirit. And when He created mankind, He breathed into him pneuma. He breathed life into him, and we became a living soul. Or our spirit man became alive. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve committed high treason, there was a breach. There was a brokenness. Their spirit was no longer directly connected. Well, how is that possible? For the wages of sin is death. So there was a breach between God and man. And that's why an animal had to die. We know the very first shedding of blood was where Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden, and God went and he killed an animal to cover them with skin. That was the very first time that they recognized. Then the curse came where they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And then they had to toil and they struggled until Christ came. How many of you are glad Jesus came to wash your sins away? He who became sin for us, who knew no sin, he came so that you and I might be reconciled to God, that we may be bought back, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's a great thing to know that God, the first Adam, brought death, but the second Adam, he brought life. And today you and I can live in life and not death. You and I can live in victory and not defeat. You and I can live in faith and not just hope. We can walk in victory in the name of Jesus. You see, we have a spirit, but we also have a soul. What is the soul of man? The soul of man is our intellect, our emotions, and our will. Before a person is born again, they literally live their whole life out of their soulish man. How they think, how they feel, and what they want. When you and I get saved, we go from death to life. If any man confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, believe it in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. When we get saved, we go from death to life, darkness to light. We become alive in Christ and dead to sin. So what happens is there is a necessity to bring our soulish man into subjection. But one part of our soul is our emotions. And we've already talked about how we think. For as a man thinks, so he. As a man thinks, so he. We talked about even how our brain is creative by the thoughts that are maintained in our own thought process. How literally creativity is stimulated the moment through quantum physics, how literally it is creating in our physical brain. You see, every one of us have a body. How many of you have a body this morning? Pinch the person next to you, make sure they still have theirs. Your body is no more than a slave, either to your spirit man or your soulish man. Well, here's what happens in Christianity. Here's what happens many times in the body of Christ without good teaching. Someone confesses the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They come from a background of sin, and they get saved. I mean, genuinely born again. Jesus washes them clean, and they're a brand new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But yet we still have a soul. We still need our mind renewed by the Word of God, Romans chapter 12. We still need the washing of the Word. But we also have emotions. And many people are walking around with wounded emotions. They're walking around with wounded life. Yes, they love Jesus. Yes, they're going to heaven. But they're not whole people. And God is calling us to be whole people. And his declaration is this: I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. As our soul gets healthy, as our soul increases in health, as our soul becomes healed, and our soul becomes maintained by the Spirit of God, then what happens is those other areas, by domino effect, will automatically start to increase. Remember we talked about the mind? 96% of all sicknesses come by how people think. And that's proven by science. That's not just a nice little religious cliche. Where's the thought process come from? From our soul. They say people of faith who are sick have a greater maintenance for health if they're sick. Why? Because how they have faith in God. Everything that you and I have is wrapped around our soulish man. And if our soulish man is not healthy, then the rest of our lives, listen, we can go to heaven, but the rest of our lives are still hindered. How many of you want to be free? Jesus didn't just say, I want you to go to heaven. He said, he whom the Son has set free is free and free indeed. God wants you free. See, every one of us have had different kinds of wounds. Some of you have had daggers from gossip. How many have been wounded by gossip? How many, the moment I said that, your mind went to a story in your head of a time that you were wounded? You see, if it immediately went to a thought process of when you were wounded, then you know you're still not healed from that situation. Some of you have dealt with rejection. Rejection from your family. We watched that God's Not Dead 2 last night. Has anybody seen that? It's pretty good, actually. I never saw God's Not Dead 1. But I like God's Not Dead 2. So maybe I'll go back to 1. But there was a young man, I believe it was from China, who gave his heart to Jesus, and his father literally rejected him and said, I no longer have a son. I've told you about the young lady that was in our Bible college. She was from the Jewish background. And when she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Messianic Jew, her family literally, not figuratively, but literally had a funeral, a casket. They did it in a funeral. They did a full funeral for her because she was dead to them. Very few of us have to deal with that level of rejection. But every one of us in this room have had the sting of rejection. We've had wounds from rejection, whether it be from our friends. Man, I can remember times back when I was a kid of the rejection that I had because I was short or I was mouthy or I was this or I was that, where my friends chose other people over being friends with me. Listen, how many of you were ever picked for kickball last? Thank you. Some of you have been rejected by your families. Some of you have been rejected in relationships. Listen, this is why the Bible is so powerful, because the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Some of you have been yoked with an unbeliever. You've started dating somebody that's not born again. And then some of you have married them. And you've wondered why there's now tension within your family, because the rejection of the Christ that lives inside of you. Because what do the two have in common besides just natural things of the soul? Some of you have dealt with the abandonment issues, where literally maybe your mother or your father, maybe you never had a mother, maybe you never had a father. I'm not saying that you didn't have them in the bodily function of creativity, but they were never part of your life. Maybe your father skipped town after the day after you were born. You maybe never have met him. I know so many people who now have no father. I'm talking like they have no dad. Maybe you grew up in an orphanage. Maybe you were still part of a normal, basic family, but you were the rejected within the family. Everybody's dealt with some level of abandonment in our lives, and unless we're dealing with it, and I don't care how cool you are, guys, how macho you might be, when you feel the sting in your soul, it is still alive, whether you're male or female. And there's a necessity to address it and allow Christ to heal you. Why is that? Because your woman needs a whole man. Amen. Some of you have gone through divorce where it was harsh, man. Maybe they cheated on you, or maybe they just walked out on you. I know folks that literally they came home from work and their spouse had moved out. Just gone. I've seen really horrible divorces where it's so vicious and so nasty and so terrible, so ungodly, that it only leaves just a massive wake of death behind it. Then you look at the children of divorce and see how many children are affected by the moms or the dads. And in fact, many times I try to talk moms and dads, and I get a little mean sometimes because I look at them and say, you loved each other enough to have sex and have a baby, but you can't figure out how to grow and stay in love. Therefore, you're going to mess your kids up. That's where I'm not nice. Why is that? Because now, listen, I know that there are certain other fabrics in the parchment. But what I'm saying is that we all have a responsibility to protect the children. Because we think that kids, well, you know, they're young enough, they're not going to be affected by divorce. That's a lie. Some of you are from divorced families, and you've still not recovered from that. You still carry wounds about having to choose who you love more, the mother or the father. Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. I came from a divorce home, too. I know that feeling. When you feel like as a kid you got to choose either the mother or the father. See, all of these create wounds within people's lives. Death is a horrible thing, and some of you have experienced death within your families, death within your spouse. Some of you have never forgiven God for that. Some of you have family members that when they died, it was a situation where, man, you have still not recovered. And God, listen, there's a point of grieving, but God wants you healthy so you don't have to carry that death as part of your death for the rest of your life. Some of you have been abused in churches. I'm talking like the pastor has just been mean and nasty. I've been to churches where the pastor uses me as the example from the pulpit. And everybody knew it. It's wounding. I remember there was a young lady who came to church. She came with a baby, and she was a single ma. And she walked into the church, and I said, well, I'm so glad to have you here. And I found out her story. Her story was that she was in another church on a Sunday morning, and her baby started crying, and the pastor told her to get out. If you can't control your child, get out. Man, I've seen where churches have so decimated individuals. I recently talked to an individual where they were in a church and there was so much gossip within the church. The family left decades ago and not one of them have ever gone back to church again. Maybe your wounds are within the church. Maybe you've just always felt unloved, where your parents never told you they loved you, and you've always had that chasm in your life. So you've always looked for someone to fill that zone. Listen, a human will never truly fill that zone. Some of you have been abused. Some of you sexually abused. Some of you emotionally abused. You know, it used to be sexually abused that it was mainly the young ladies that were abused. But it's now also the young men. I believe it's 2 out of 5 boys now are sexually abused. Everything has changed now. We have not only sexual abuse, but we have an enormous amount of emotional abuse. And we have a massive amount of physical abuse and mental abuse. All of that affects your soulish man. And God is saying, listen, I want to prosper you in every area of your life. I want you to be healthy, but I need your soul to prosper. I need your soul to be healed. I need you to be touched by the power of God and be transformed by Christ so that you don't have to walk around. And listen, some of you, no one would ever know because you buried it so deep. You've buried it so deep and you won't let anybody touch it, not even the people you call the closest in your life. Some of you dealt with disappointments, man. You maybe even with God, you're disappointed with God. You put your faith in God for something and it didn't happen. And man, you're in a place and a location in your life where you're just so wounded inside, you don't even dare to trust God anymore. There are so many different types of wounds, but the fact is that they're still wounds. And the powerful part about wounds is that the need for a wound is that that wound is healed. That God can get in by his Holy Spirit and start transforming you and healing you from the inside. Listen, where the doctor's scalpel can never cut, where drugs can never take care of. Listen, even the antidepressants. Listen, I'm not speaking negatively against them, but I will say this, that if you're on the antidepressants, and it's just because I knew a lady who went on antidepressants because she had her gallbladder out. Doctor said, well, I'm just trying to keep you balanced. Listen now, you still got to deal with emotion somehow. If you come off those medications, you still got to learn how to deal with the emotions. And the wounds are so real to some people. And some of you have dealt with these for, I'm talking like decades. You've carried these wounds. You have guilt of these wounds. You live these wounds. No, I don't. I don't even think about them anymore. Listen, baby, your life is motivated by the wounds that you have had. And if they're not healed, they literally will keep you, they'll keep you in bondage. They'll actually design where you go and what you do and how you play. There's a need for us to come to a reality that, just as John prayed, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, that we've got to, as a believer, start looking and saying, Holy Spirit, I need you to get inside and start meddling in my life. Even those things that I've buried, I want to be healthy from. I don't want to carry the wounds any longer. And again, you know, I'm talking to the men too. We start talking this way. It's usually all, well, you know, the ladies, they're more emotional. I don't care if you're a lady or a man. If you've been wounded in these ways, man, you need healing in your life. And that's what Jesus came for. Not just so you go to heaven, Listen, if you were saved just to go to heaven, you'd die the moment you got born again. It'd be hard growing a church that way. But this is real. You're not in heaven. How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? How many of you are glad this is not heaven? You're here. And Jesus has you here because he has a purpose for you. He has a design for your life. He has people that only you can reach. God has called you to seek and to save the lost. Christ has placed you here at this time of history. He's placed you here in this house. He's put you in this region. And he's placed you here because there's a divine purpose that only you can accomplish. And God is saying, I need you healthy so I can work through you to grab people, snatch people, tear people out of Lucifer's lairs so that people will know that I am a good God, greatly to be praised, and I want to wash people's sins away. See, you're not here to suck air. You're here because of the divine purpose in your life. Yet we've got to get to this place where we say to the Lord, I want to be healed. See, Jesus cares so desperately about the wounds that you've carried for so long. He says, I care about your wounds. I came to heal your wounds. And I want to give you hope that you can be set free. Some of you have given up hope. You've given up hope in your life. You can't. Jesus, he said he'll do his thing because he loves you so desperately, not just to pull you to heaven. I think this is where it gets really hard because so many of us try to act so cool. We got everything in our pocket. Everything is set in my life. But yet, you've got to address those chasms because those chasms are there, and I'm not saying that God would bring them into your life, but I will tell you God will heal them in your life, and when God heals them in your life, you then have a platform to speak and help somebody else through their healing. The fact is the word always works, but when somebody's gone through that adventure, somebody has gone through that trauma, somebody's come out healthy, they have a better concept, understanding, and capability of performing the working of God's Spirit in a person's life because they have a greater compassion. Somebody who's had cancer has a greater compassion to somebody who has cancer. Because they know the thoughts, they know the feelings, they know the emotions that run through their body. Somebody who's been abandoned by their parent, they have a better concept than somebody who's had both parents living in their home and they've had what would be considered a stable environment. But you see, how can you bring healing to anybody else if you're willing just to carry those wounds yourself? You're no cooler if you carry the wounds. In fact, you're less capable. And God has called you to be capable people to where you will help and change lives around you. Some of you hate your jobs. Why do you hate your jobs? I don't get it. God has placed you in that job.
Well, I hate my...
The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You either believe it or you don't believe it. God has placed you around the people in your life because he needs the light of the world to shine. Please, please understand, you need healing in your life. Every one of us need to address these things. And I don't care how spiritual you are. You know, I don't care how tall you are, short you are, how manly you are, or how petite you might be. The fact is that every one of us deal with these issues. And if we never address them, they're not leaving. They're still there. Now listen, I'm not saying you got to curl up in fetal position and go back to your mother's womb. But what I'm saying is allow the Holy Spirit to open you up to where he will say, I want to heal this next. I want to touch this next. You know what? You went through this situation with your parent, and you might be 50, 60 years old. You went through this situation in your life, and you've never allowed me to touch that. You've never allowed me to heal that. You buried it so far, but yet every decision you make in your relationships is based on the abandonment emotion that you experienced back with your parent. You deserve to be healed. And And this is why Jesus came. James chapter 1, verse 21 makes this declaration. So get rid of the filth and the evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word of God that is planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. The word save there in the Greek is sozo. It means to reupholster. It means to take out the old, tattered, worn, and all debilitated. You know, one day, Amy Bishop's ma was an upholsterer, and she invited me over her house one day. And when I went, she showed me this couch that was devoured by two dogs. I mean, literally, they ate the styrofoam. I don't know. They must have had to go to the vet and get operations because they ate so much of it. They shredded this couch. And she said, you know what, though? When I'm done after a week, it will not just be that old couch. It will still be the base structure of the old couch. But I'm going to make it look brand new. I went back in a week. She had taken out the stuffing. She had taken out the springs. But she had left the frame. You see, God doesn't ever want to change the frame. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But where the dogs have ripped and the dogs have peed and the dogs have done other, we won't get into that. He wants to get in there and take that out and put new in. God wants to make you so that when people see you, they go, that. And this is what I said. I walked in a week later and I looked at that couch and I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's the same couch? Isn't that what people say to you when you get healthy and saved? You're the same person. You used to be an alcoholic. You used to be a drug addict. You used to be a pusher. You used to be a dealer. You used to be somebody who was foul, man. If we knew somebody who could cuss, it was you. But now your language, your actions, they look at you and they go, you're a new person. Isn't this who God wants you to be? So when they see you, they see him. So many of us, we take that couch. We don't get rid of it. We might put it in the back closet somewhere. And we go sit on it every once in a while when a memory is stirred. But you know something? It's still in your closet. And it's taking up space. I love my daughter. My daughter, Corinne, and my wife, they go shopping together. And our house is a beautiful home, and it has some closet space, but definitely not enough closet space. And so, as we're cleaning the house up for an event in our life, there were like three 55-gallon garbage bags upstairs in the hallway. And I said, what are those bags? And they said, well, those are Corinne's old clothes. We're giving one to Randy. We're going to do this with the other. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, that's a lot of clothes. But you want to know what? They used to be in the closet. But she took them out of the closet to buy new clothes. Some of you got to empty out the old closet to bring in the new. Because the new is going to fit you better. How do we do this? You know, like I've been doing this a long time, and one of the things, I'm almost done. One of the things I realize is that everyone tries to fix themselves apart from the word. Listen, I'm not against counselors. I do counseling. Not against therapists. Not against any of those folk. But you know, I had a man come to me one time and he goes, you know, I just don't get you. You make it feel, you make it seem like it, and you say like, God can fix everything. All we need to do is get into the word. And I looked at him, and my head cocked. I said, yeah. He goes, no, you need to be realistic, preacher. Because if God could fix everything, then we'd be perfect tomorrow. Well, if God could fix everything, we wouldn't need a therapist. If the word of God was like that, then everything we take it. Listen now. What's happened is the church has abandoned the word. Psalms 107 says, and God sent his word to heal you. The word heal there is Rapha. And that's not just talking about physical healing. That's talking about every area of your life. You see, God sent his word to heal you. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among you. I'm here to tell you directly, without any question in your mind, what this house believes right here. And that is the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts in the intent of the heart. That God's word is supernatural. That God's word is rhema life. That God's word will heal you while you sit there as I'm preaching the scripture. As you release your faith, God will heal you as the word of God is being spoken. I believe God's word is supernaturally more powerful than any devil from hell. Even Satan himself is in subject to the word of God. For Jesus used the word to kick the devil's butt in Luke chapter 4. The word of God is alive. And what's happened is the body of Christ has abandoned the word. We go for help everywhere else but Jesus. You see, I'm not saying that we don't need someone to talk to sometimes. But if your therapist isn't born again, then the only thing they can touch is your mind, your soul again. They can't fix you. Because without the word being released, there is no healing. They can talk you through it for $125 an hour. Listen, if you want to do that, you just come to my office. I'll do $125 an hour. We'll sit there and talk.
Well, I wouldn't do that with a preacher.
But you do that with somebody you've never met before, who you don't know is born again, who can't help you get healed. They can only help you sort. See, we've got to get back to the place where we actually believe that the word is the seed. Matthew chapter 13 says the word is the seed. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. The fact is that whatever we sow, we reap. And if we sow the word, then healing is part of the word of God. We will produce a harvest of healing in our lives. But so many of us do not know the word of God. We do not sit consistently in the word of God. We do not open the word of God. We do not listen to the word of God, but yet we expect a harvest from something we've never planted. So we've got to go to the therapist. Is the word God or not? Is the word alive or not? I was just talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, the devil's got the church so dumb to the word, that when troubles come, they don't even know what their platform is to stand on with the word. It amazes me. You know that verse in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and cast away all filthy lucre. Oh, what's the actual words? What is that, Kathy? Cast away all filthiness.
And overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Get rid of sin. Some of you have been playing with sin. You can't understand why you're wounded in your soul. I'll tell you why. Because when you open yourself up to sin, then there's only one thing that can happen. Wounds. But this is where, again, a lot of Christians don't get it. Well, I love them and they love me, so we can be intimate. Oh, really? Well, I think the Bible says something different from that. This is why we have, listen now, this is why we have so many young ladies, because men are dogs and ladies go through a more of an emotional experience when they're sexually entered. There's a unionization, there's a oneness.
We have young ladies that are in their 20s that have had so many multiple partners that they go through multiple divorces in their life. Every time they break up, then they're in a divorce again. Emotionally, they're going through another divorce. Because they became one, now they can be one again. That's why the Bible says abstain from sexual sin. And the church said, oh, but truthfully, the church at large doesn't believe that. Which means they don't believe the word. See, we've got to get back to the word of God. Oh, I've got to hurry. I'm sorry. Open your Bibles real quick to Psalms 107, verse 20. I want to read it to you. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalms 147, 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Luke 4, 18 is what Jesus spoke, and this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Pastor, please don't be so naive to believe that the Bible can fix it all. I'm telling you, I'm not naive. This is reality for every believer in the household of faith, that God by his Spirit has sent his only begotten Son, and Jesus died and rose again, not just so you could go to heaven, but that Jesus could heal your broken heart. He can get in your soul. He can heal your emotions. He can heal your mind. My Jesus can readjust your will. It's time to recognize the word is real. The word is alive, and we've got to get back to believing the word of God. Come on, shout amen. See, every one of us need to be healthy. But you can't be healthy without the word. You know, I disciple people. And the young men that I disciple, I mandate that they have to listen to the Bible between 4 and 6 hours a day. Now, they can't read the Bible 4 to 6 hours. They're supposed to be working. If you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. And you know what? In 2 weeks, usually all it takes, in 2 weeks, these people are totally different individuals. And people sit back and go, well, I don't believe that. How can that happen so quick? Because the word is quick and powerful. Because the word is alive. Because the word is transforming. Because the word is intravenous. The very thought of heaven flowing through your spirit and healing your soul. The word is powerful. But yet so many individuals stay out of the word. Some of you haven't picked up the Bible except on a Sunday morning. In fact, you haven't even picked it up on the Bible. You wait for it to come on the screen. And you can't understand why your passion for Christ has dwindled. It's simple. Without the word, you can't survive. Without the word, you cannot 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 be healed. Without the word, you cannot grow. Without the word, you cannot be transformed in your mind or in your soulish man. Without the word, you will die. So the devil gets us to the place where we go to church once a month. We go to no Bible study. We don't pick up the Bible during the week. We might read one verse for the day and think, well, that's good. We'll try to eat one piece of cereal and tell me how it works for you. We can't understand why believers are falling off. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great apostasy. What's an apostasy? It's those who have once followed God have now fallen away from God. There's a great apostasy in the last days, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a great loss of the word of God in the household of faith. People don't believe in the Bible anymore. We see it in our country. Had someone say to me just recently, well, I can't come back to the church. I'm a Democrat. You got so many Republicans in that church. 80% of that church is Republican. So I can't come back to that church because I'm a Democrat. I have never once made a political statement from the pulpit. But I will make a statement. You're supposed to vote the Bible, not a party. I don't care whether you're Republican or you're Democrat. You vote the word of God.
It doesn't matter whether you're white, whether you're African-American, whether you're a Latino. It doesn't matter what your background is. You're a believer first more than anything else, and you vote the word. That was free. Some of you today are sitting here, and you're really wounded. And honestly, you know, you don't want anybody to know. You really don't, because it is uncomfortable when people recognize that you're wounded. But today I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to have the altar workers come right now. We want to pray with you this morning for the beginning of the healing process of the Word of God. I'm going to give you a prescription. How many of you have had a prescription from your doctor? How many could read it? Not only because of their handwriting, but you didn't know what in the world that thing was unless they gave you a 10-page description of everything bad that's going to happen to you when you do take it. Amen. Here's a prescription. Don't listen to the word any less than 30 minutes a day, and in 2 weeks, your life will be transformed. The healing you need in your mind will start to happen. The healing in your soul will start to manifest. You'll be able to walk into a room with an individual that you literally turn around and walk away from. You'll be able to walk in the room because you'll be a healed person. God will start restoring you. He'll restore your soul. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I've got to hurry. I apologize. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm talking like if you died right now, you're not solid. You are not absolutely sure that you're going to go to heaven. Maybe you've never accepted him in your life before. Today, I want to introduce you to the very best friend you're ever going to. He is awesome. His name is Christos, Christ, Jesus. He's the Messiah. He said, I'll wash all your sins away. I'll make you part of the household of faith. I'll make you part of my family. I'll give you the right to be called sons and daughters of God. You're not joining a religion. You're not joining a church. You're getting to know Jesus. Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you'd like him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like to receive Jesus as their Savior? Come on, get your hand up real quick. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, ma'am. You put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else in the room this morning that wants to receive Jesus? Come on. I'm not going to wait long. Five. Come on. Get your hand up. Four. Get your hand up. Three. Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand. Oh, young lady, did you raise your hand? Let's all stand to their feet right now. Hallelujah. This morning, I just know this. Turn to someone and say, I deserve to be healthy. Come on. Tell somebody else, I deserve to be healthy. And you do by the blood and the power and the word of Jesus. And today, we're going to release that in your life. But if you'd like prayer, we want to pray with you. Right after service is a guest reception. For those who are first-time guests, if you go right around the corner, we'd love to meet you, my wife and I. Just love to shake your hand, tell you we love you. But if you need healing, make sure you're up here first. Because today is your day. Turn to someone and say, today is your day in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I just release a blessing right now in the house of God. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that the word of God today is starting to transform, starting to sozo, reupholster their life. I declare in the name of Jesus that no sickness has a right to befall their home. Lord, we speak your word, and that is that John prayed. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. We position ourselves in the name of Jesus to prosper, to grow, to be healed, to be restored, to be reupholstered in our soulish man, that the wounds of our past will not deter and destroy our future in Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, I see she's already heading over, again, going to get ministered to. If you need prayer around the front of the, come on, give her a hand clap for raising her hand for Jesus. Her life will be changed. If you need healing, come right out of your chair. We love you. Come get ministry around the altar. Come grab some rug. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.